Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively post your opinion on the Red Cafe forums.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Welcome to episode 6 of the RedCafe.net podcast. As always, I'm Stephen Darwin and I'm joined by Daniel Lomax and David Schiavone. Guys, how are we this week?
I'm good, thanks, Steve. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Obviously, just watched the Besiktas game. We'll go on to discuss that in a minute. But, yeah, pleased with the result. Dov, you okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Nice and relaxed after a fantastic evening in the public house.
Fantastic stuff. Well, coming up in the show this week, we'll be looking back at the victories over Tottenham and Besiktas. Dov will bring you all the details of the under-18s this week, as obviously there wasn't a reserves game. We'll have all the regular features of the week, and we'll also preview the big one on Sunday, which is, of course, the Manchester Derby. Remember, you can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, and do make sure you get signed up to the Facebook group too, if you haven't already. Well then, guys, Besiktas away. 1-0 victory. I'd say it was a case of job done. Got the 3 points, off to a good start, and on the way to Madrid, hopefully, where the Champions League final is going to be played this season.
I thought it was a decent game. I know you've just been saying off-air about being a bit boring and a bit mundane, first half especially, but I only saw the last sort of like half an hour of the first half, so I missed 15 minutes. But, I mean, I thought it was good. I thought it was professional. Nothing silly took place. I thought Valencia played well. I liked the look of Nani when he got his head down and run at people. And I thought we did all right. I thought we did the business, really. And a 1-0 result away from home is always good in the Champions League.
Well, the big thing, guys, I couldn't understand from the game at the start was why we were playing 4-5-1. I mean, we went to Tottenham and performed absolutely brilliantly, arguably our best performance this season so far, and that was with a 4-4-2, so I don't see why we didn't stick with that. When you've got a player like, I hate going back to talking about Cristiano Ronaldo all the time, but when you have a player like Ronaldo in your side, you can afford to play a 4-5-1, because obviously with Ronaldo on a wing, he's going to drift inside and he's going to link up with a striker. But with that formation we were playing today, I couldn't see where the sort of support for Wayne Rooney was going to come from.
Can I defend the 4-5-1? I think you're going away from home, your first game in the Champions League, you're going to Turkey, to Besiktas, who I believe are the double winners in Turkey. Don't concede any goals. Make sure you don't lose.
With Manchester United, though, Dov, we should be on the front foot against anyone. I mean,
but then you've not got to be silly, though. I mean, you can go gung-ho and then concede two goals and then Besiktas will shut up shop.
4-4-2 isn't gung-ho, though, is it? It's just the normal formation we've been playing this season, and it's been working so far. So I don't see why we just didn't sort of carry on with how we were playing.
It's a European fixture. It's a different game in Europe. And I think if you're going to be a 4-5-1, make sure you don't concede any goals. If you feel you can then switch to a 4-4-2, then do it. But I would say first be safe before you can be like, before you're sorry, basically. I quite support a decision for a 4-5-1 going into the start of the game.
I was disappointed when I found that out. I mean, I think like Steve said, you know, with Manchester United we've got to be attacking teams. I can also see your point of view of, like, you know, not conceding a goal, but I'd rather go out, get one or two goals ourselves and then defend it, you know once you're in a decent position.
Well, like, you've got to look at, like,
what if scores aren't scored, we've got a 0-0 draw away from home. One point we could have had three.
Guys, what did you make of the Wayne Rooney incident? Obviously, I'm talking about where he sort of being taken off.
Nothing.
It was nothing, was it? I agree. I'd say it was more frustration that he wasn't able to influence the game more than him sort of saying, oh, I'm not happy because I've been taken off. I think he was just disappointed that he didn't make more of it, and because he was the lone front man and there wasn't a lot.
That goes back to the formation, you know. He didn't have any support. So he's going to get frustrated, but I think I have no problems with him throwing his boots around when he gets subbed and stuff. It doesn't bother me. Apparently he's had a few words to the Turkish fans, but so what, let him have it.
Well, I'm sure we'll know about it if anything does come out that. Dov, yeah, with Rooney, you take that aggression away from his game, and well, like they said on the commentary tonight, he's not the same player, is he, if he's not got that aggressive nature about him?
No, not at all. I think throwing his boots down is just pure frustration because he wants to win and be involved all the time. Like, he would play 90 minutes of every game regardless if he's injured or not. So I think it's just, he's frustrated at getting taken off and not having influenced the game is what he'd like to. I think it's as simple as that, really.
And Dan, Paul Scholes, obviously the red card on Saturday wasn't great, but then comes back and scores the winning goal. It's brilliant to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get fouled that much today. I know, you know, he tends to play a lot more like the holding role, and Carrick goes up to try and support Rooney. But I thought he had a decent game. I love about Paul Scholes, he can control a game when he's got the space, like he did against Tottenham. He had a lot of time on the ball, and if you give him the ball in the centre circle or just a bit deeper, he can kill you with his passes. That's why I still think he's got, you know, something to offer the club.
I'm a little worried that Paul Scholes and Michael Carrick are too similar nowadays, though. I just don't think it works with them two alongside each other, because you haven't got that centre midfielder that's going to bomb on and sort of join in the attacks.
I can see where you're coming from, but I don't think the age scores that you can have him in the centre midfield on his own week in, week out. He's not got the legs for it, simple as that. So I think Carrick's there to sort of take some of that load off him. I don't see any reason why you can't play them together. I think they could work well, Carrick playing just a bit further up. I don't see any reason why you can't do that at all.
Okay, guys, well, let's move on to discuss the fantastic victory at White Hart Lane on Saturday. Obviously, going 1-0 down was a bit of a hammer blow, but we recovered really well to obviously go in front and then snatched a 3-1 victory with Paul Scholes getting sent off as well. Anderson, first competitive goal. We've got to discuss that first. Dov, what do you make of the celebration? He said he was going to be giving us something special when he did get that first goal, but it was a little bit muted, wasn't it?
No, Anderson's celebration, I was disappointed.
It was epic failure, I think. Epic failure.
Maybe he got confused and he didn't know what he wanted to do. Maybe he was just like, I've scored a goal, what am I supposed to do? Because apparently, like, last season he said he had this crazy mad celebration, and I was waiting for it. I was like, singing, I was like, come on, and then he just sat down and did a wee rubbish machine gun. That's just crap.
Lads, sorry to interrupt, right? Yeah, obviously I've got the football in the background. What, right? Oh my God. Flamini's tackle on one of the Marseille lads, two-footed over the ball, horrific. Only got a yellow card, sorry.
Well, anyway, we're talking about tackles then. See what I've got to do here? I've got to bring this full circle. Talking about tackles, Paul Scholes made two tackles. He made a bit more, but he made two tackles and got him yellow cards and got him sent off. First one, blatant yellow card, possible red card. Second one, for me, there was nothing in it at all, and it was very, very unlucky to get a yellow card. Steve, Dan, be quiet for a minute. Steve, I'll go. what did you think of the sending off, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a tad harsh. Like Ferguson says, sometimes Paul Scholes' reputation does sort of come before him. You saw he flew in and he knew, didn't he? He knew, if I make contact here, I've got a red card. And you saw him pull his leg away. And it wasn't a crunching tackle that sort of left the opposition player seething in agony. So, no, I don't.
He had no need to make that challenge, though. That's what annoys me about it. You could see from, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds before he did it exactly what was going to happen there.
You probably didn't see it tonight, Dan, but within the first 5 minutes, Paul Scholes, he went straight in, flying into a slide tackle. You just thought, oh, God.
I don't know all the hoo-hahs about the first tackle, because I didn't think that was that bad. He caught him, it was late, but I don't think it was a red card like some people are calling for. But
what about the return of Rio Ferdinand, guys? Obviously, that's a huge boost with the Manchester derby coming up as well. Him and Vidic, there's not a better centre-back partnership in Europe, is there? So to have Ferdinand now back in contention is good news, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just concerned that he's picked up another little sort of niggling injury as well. I mean, it's his back or his groin that keeps going all the time. And it's just, how old's Ferdinand now? 31? Or 30?
I don't think he's 29 or 30. He's not quite.
I know he's had a relatively injury-free sort of career, hasn't he? But the last few years, he seems to just be picking up little things that keep reoccurring.
The thing is with the back injuries as well, though, it's like those are injuries that don't go away. Like Nesta for Milan, he like got a back injury about 2 or 3 years ago, and it just absolutely killed him as a defender. And I'm a bit worried Rio might be going the same sort of way.
Well, just a couple of extra mentions before we move on, guys. Wayne Rooney, absolutely superb again, and the way he took that goal, and another superb ball from Darren Fletcher as well. And what can you say about Darren Fletcher at the moment? Just
Darren Fletcher's amazing.
He's commanding. Yeah.
Darren Fletcher could probably get a game for like Brazil or Spain or something like that. I think he's up there with all those type of players, you know.
Brian Giggs as well, continuing to prove his value, isn't he? When you looked at that midfield, especially for the Tottenham game, you saw the likes of Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes in there. You probably thought, oh, is that really the right selection? And then Giggs comes up with a superb free kick to bring us back in the game.
And
I was just going to say, that brings up 1-4-9 for him. So a goal in the Manchester derby, if he manages to get on or even start, would be terrific for him.
Giggs is clearly going to start. Ferdinand hopefully will do. Fletcher will do. O'Shea probably will do instead of Gary Neville. I mean, when you look at it tonight, it's quite a... It's not a weakened team, but it's not our first 11 that played tonight, so that's looking quite encouraging.
And Ben Foster as well, obviously clean sheet against Besiktas, but against Tottenham as well, I remember him making one really decent save, and he's growing in confidence, isn't he? It's those sort of saves that are going to help him out, and clean sheets as well. And well, could he challenge Edwin van der Sar now? Is it time that van der Sar sort of stepped aside and allowed Foster to claim that number one jersey, or is he not quite ready in your eyes?
How long has van der Sar got before he comes back? Surely he should be back in like maybe three, 4 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's about a month that he's still going to be away.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think something that you said, it was either last week or the week before, about having experienced centre-backs in front of him, since Vidic has came back, and obviously he had Rio in front of him as well. It looks like a completely different goalkeeper than what he did sort of like maybe a month ago, where he was a bit flappy at crosses and things. That looks a bit more assured.
Well, before we move on to discuss United in even more detail, guys, major news in the footballing world. The homegrown ruling has come into play. I guess that's starting from next season. The FA have indicated that a squad must be consisting of 25 players, 8 of which must be homegrown. Now, there's a few loopholes in that, guys. When you say homegrown, that could be a player that's sort of been brought over at a young age, like the likes of, say, Federico Makeda. He would count as a homegrown player just because he's been in England for 3 years. So there's various loopholes to that. But
Fabregas falls into that category as well, which is ridiculous because he's clearly not.
Well, is it like the definition is a player has to be registered for at least 3 seasons at an English or Welsh club between the ages of 16 and 21.
Yeah, but that's not homegrown then, is it? That's just saying, oh, bring somebody over at 15, and by the time they're, 18, 19, they can play while they're homegrown. So,
I think they're trying to encourage youth development. Like, not say English youth development, just general youth development and try and get young players through.
To be honest, though, it's the rule, it's just in the squad. So, like, you can still, as long as you've got players in the squad, so I think it should relate to starting lineup, say I don't know.
What happened?
Three or four in the starting lineup, you know.
Yeah, well, you've got the 8 homegrown in your 25 squad, but you can have players over the 25 limit, but they've got to be under 21, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand that bit. What I'm saying is about the starting lineup, you know, because you could still field just 2 homegrown players in that starting lineup and have the rest on the bench, so it doesn't really count, does it?
Yeah, well, they did a similar thing in Scotland when they set up the SPL. Like, I think every team had to have 1 or 2 under 21 players on their bench, so it meant sort of younger players started getting a bit of first team experience and sort of like being around the first team more, which helped their development. Because I think at the time they'd done it, like, Scotland had a terrible like national side, and then you got some of the younger players who were getting first team, like some of them were getting first team football and like getting the sort of first team match day experience, and I think it brought them on a lot more.
Yeah, no, it's a step in the right direction, let's say that, but I think that it could be improved on a lot more.
Well, I think it as well, like with the Gael Kakuta thing that we discussed, if FIFA are maybe thinking about bringing in that age limit of 18 years, so a player can't get transferred to 18 years, that could then tie in with this homegrown rule and mean that these players won't be able to come across, so you're going to have to invest in local lads from the surrounding area.
I don't know, I'm not convinced by it, to be honest with you.
Okay, it's feature time now then, guys. Cabbage and Player of the Week. Player of the Week then, Dan, I'll start with you.
Just with his performance on Saturday against Spurs, I'm going to go for Fletcher. Even in right midfield as well, he still managed to dominate midfield which just shows his quality at the moment. And obviously the ball, as we mentioned before, for Rooney's goal. It's top class, and, you know, he gets over the pitch, makes tackles, he's destructive, like we mentioned a few podcasts ago. He's vastly becoming my favourite player. It's out there. I'm following him. Love him, Darren Fletcher. Simple as that.
Well, I was going to give it to either Fletcher or, as you mentioned, Dan there, Wayne Rooney, who scored the goal. I think it's difficult to pick someone out from Besiktas tonight because I thought everyone was pretty average, to be honest. Not that I'm saying that that's any fault of the players themselves. But, Wayne Rooney for me, for the way he led the line against Spurs. I think he's in absolutely tremendous form at the moment. Okay, he wasn't pulsating tonight against Besiktas, but then again, as the lone front man, there's not a lot you can do when you're not getting people in and around you to support you. So for his performance against Spurs, I'm giving it to Wayne Rooney. Dov, who is it for you this week?
I'm going to give it to our left back, Patrice Evra. Against Tottenham, I thought he just owned the left wing and also kept Aaron Lennon very, very quiet. Because if you remember, Carling Cup final, Aaron Lennon tore him to pieces, and Aaron Lennon wasn't in the game at all. And Evra just owned attacking and defensively. Just owned that side of the park. So he's my player of the week this week.
Definitely a fair choice there. What about Cabbage of the Week? Start with you, Dob.
I tempted to go with Paul Scholes because it was a bit silly. I might go with Michael Carrick. It didn't look very good tonight. Yeah, I'm going to go with Carrick. I don't know. There's just something's not right.
I'm going to be controversial and say Ryan Giggs. I thought on Saturday, bar his goal, I thought he was pretty ordinary.
Bar his superb goal.
I'm not taking it. Listen, Steve, that goal was quality. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But I just thought that overall in the game, I didn't think he contributed enough. He played all right, but he's still got something to offer. But I just think that he's sometimes, last few games against Arsenal and Tottenham, his passing has been, and his decision making has been a bit poor. There's a few times when he could have slipped the ball out wide and he went inside for no reason and gave the ball away in the first first half of the game. But I suppose, I don't know. I'm just going to go with Giggs, so there you are. What about yours, Steve?
Well, I suppose equally controversial. I'm going to give it to Vidic for tonight's performance against Besiktas. I thought it was a bit shaky, gave the ball away a couple of times, very last minute when that cross came in. He sort of should have been drawn to the man and should have picked up the attacker, but sort of let him go. He drifted in, and if he got anywhere near getting his head on the ball, that would have been 1-1. So, just not really convinced with him tonight. Maybe it was just an off night for him. I'm sure he'll be back to form on Sunday. Well, I hope he will be anyway. Right, well, on to reserves. Well, under-18s review it is this week. Dov. You've had a look at the under-18s win against Huddersfield, as there was no reserve game from last week.
I have indeed. The reserves, just so everybody knows, the next game is against Liverpool on the 17th of September. But they played Huddersfield under-18s on the 12th, and they won 3-1 thanks to goals from John Coffey. I hope that's how you spell it. I keep wanting to say Coffey, but that reminds me of the Green Mile for some reason. And also Ravel Morrison and Etzaz Hussein, who I shall tell everybody a little bit about later. But on at the game first. It was a 3-1 victory. It was the first home win of the Academy League season as well. And we took the lead. John Coffey scored after 19 minutes. It was just a sort of tap-in. Went into half-time, 1-0. Then Huddersfield sort of came out in the second half. They were quite up for it. And they got an equaliser on the 61st minute. So Aidan Chippendale scored. So, and they did deserve... I can hear you laughing, Dan. he scored.
There's a point in there somewhere, but I don't know.
There is. Oh, God, you want to do it?
No, I'm all right. Yeah.
I'll keep going. But then after they sort of scored, they had a little bit of pressure after that, but then sort of we stepped up and Ravel Morrison scored a goal on a counter-attack and Etaz Hussein scored a goal 3 minutes later to give us a 3-1 victory. I sort of got out like looking at the game. I'd heard of John Coffey and I'd heard of Ravel Morrison before, but Etzaz Hussein, I'd never heard of him, so I had a little look, and apparently he's a creative playmaking midfielder with bags of skill and passing ability. He's Norwegian as well, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer spotted him, and he's also captain of the Norwegian youth team as well. So another excellent Norwegian player. Like I said, we've got Magnus Ekrem and Josh King as well, who are the two other Norwegians. So another young player to look out for in the future.
I didn't know Josh King was Norwegian.
He is indeed.
All right. Well, there you are. You learn something every day.
I like to keep my toes down, you know.
I know.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, lads, I think we should move on to the emails, and I'm getting to take the lead again. See, I told you I'd get you out of a job, Steve. Our first email is from Zahid Ali, and he wants to know what we think of the midfield, and particularly on Saturday against Spurs, where we didn't really play with any sort of out-and-out wingers as such. I know we had Giggs on there, but I mean, he sort of came more inside as he's got older, and whether he wants to know whether we think we're better with or without wingers in our side. So, Steve, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think about the midfield?
Well, I can certainly see where he's coming from. Obviously, it worked really well against Tottenham. You wouldn't class Darren Fletcher as a right midfielder anymore. Obviously, he can do that job, and he proved he could do that job on Saturday. But yeah, we much prefer to see him playing central midfield. But even though Besiktas, the performance wasn't fantastic, the way we were getting it out wide to Nani and Valencia was creating chances. The crosses were coming in. And if they had been on the money, we'd have got a few goals tonight. So I wouldn't say we're better off without out-and-out wingers, but there are games where it can work. I mean, obviously Chelsea, they play that system, diamond system, where they don't have out-and-out wingers, but I wouldn't want us to go down that road. Yeah, I'd much rather see wide players playing, especially in the bigger games.
Well, we shall move on to our second email from Aaron Holtzclaw, who emailed us all the way from Utah, and I believe that's in the United States of America. I did geography at school. And he basically doesn't think that Ben Foster is going to be the goalkeeping solution, the future goalkeeper for us. I'm going to ask Steve, do you think he's the man to go forward?
Yeah, well, my affection for Mr. Ben Foster is well documented. But yeah, Foster, he started off really well, I think, this season. Looked a bit shaky at the start, yeah, granted. But he's coming to his own now, and he's looking really assured. Now, we've been linked with the Russian, haven't we, Igor Akinfeev? I hope I've got the pronunciation right. But yeah, he's a great keeper. I've seen him on a few occasions for the national team, and also, is it CSKA Moscow he's playing?
Yeah, so we'll be playing against them as well.
Exactly, yeah, so that'll be a chance for him to sort of showcase what he's all about. But no, I don't see why we should bring him in. Foster has proved that he can come in and do a job. Obviously, Van der Sar has got, what, another season, maybe two, left to go? So I don't think we necessarily need to bring a goalkeeper in. And I say give Foster every chance that he can get.
Well, Aaron, there you go. Steve has spoken. we've got another email from I would call him a regular, Vishnu Chari. He says what he thinks is the World Cup at the end of the season. Do you think sort of players are going to be affected by it in a negative sort of way, sort of like pulling out of tackles, taking a few risks to make sure they're not injured? Because obviously we've got a fair few internationals who are going to be at the World Cup. Dan, do you think because the World Cup's going to be at the end of the season, that means players are less likely to take risks, which could affect their chances of playing in it?
Maybe, but I think they're all professionals, aren't they? And I don't think they'll be thinking about the World Cup whilst they're playing the club football. Although it could be, you know, it could be in the back of their minds. But I'd fully expect our players to be fully committed to United while the season's still going ahead.
Well, it's just like Wayne Rooney, he's never going to pull out of a tackle, is he? World Cup coming up or not?
Well, I mean, to be fair, his last few international competitions have been wrecked by injury, haven't they? Well, if he did the last one, he got sent off, didn't he? But I mean, I think he'll need a really good tournament, and to prove that he is actually a world-class player, if he does well in the World Cup.
Do you think Wayne Rooney I've got a World Cup coming up. I really want to be the star of the show. I want to be on the world stage. It doesn't seem to me that that's his character. I think he's sort of held to leather. He just won't pull out of anything.
I think you can sort of think of it in two ways. You can think of it as players who are like maybe guaranteed a spot in whoever country they play for's World Cup squad, like Wayne Rooney. Maybe would think, I don't want to get a bad injury before the World Cup. But then you've got players who are maybe on the fringes, like Anderson, who might think, right, I need to have a great season and just put in a string of performances together, just going hell for leather to get in the squad. So you can look at it from both angles. But I want to move on. We've got another regular emailer. It's Eddie Jullat, and he said he's beaming after the Spurs win, and praises Darren Fletcher, who he thinks is becoming his favourite player. So Dan, I think he's got a lot in common with you there.
Yeah.
But he says, I think he says he's not world class though, but he's very, very, very good. So that's a little bit in homage to myself. And we've also got an email from Troy from the USA. He says his life is complete once more, and do you know why? That's because he discovered that we're back in a new form. So, well, Troy, I'm glad your life is complete. You should share your secret with us and everybody else at redcafe.net as well. But yeah, that is a selection of our very best emails from this week.
Okay, well, Manchester Derby this weekend, guys, on Sunday. Oh, it's a big one. It's probably the biggest one for quite a few years, actually. Obviously, Manchester City coming through, claiming to be the next big thing now with all the money they've spent and believing that they can win the title, but surely not. Surely we're going to teach them a lesson on Sunday that they're never going to be able to match us. Would you agree with that, guys, or is that my Manchester United colours coming through there?
I'm a tiny bit worried, to be honest. I don't know, there's something doesn't sit quite right. I know it's going to be the first time we've been challenged for our status as number one team in Manchester. It's going to be quite a serious challenge. And I think, apart from the Tottenham performance, we haven't looked on any sort of form at all this season. And City, that was their first two goals that they conceded all season against Arsenal in the league. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think with the striking absentees that they'll have, that will play into our favour. But I think it'll be a really difficult game.
You mentioned the absentees there, Dov. Obviously, Manchester City are definitely going to be without Robinho and Roque Santa Cruz. Tevez is a doubt as well. So Bellamy appears to be the only fit striker. I say that because what happened with Emmanuel Adebayor, obviously I don't need to explain what happened in the Arsenal game on the weekend, but it looks like he has been handed a ban. My worry is, will City appeal that? And then it sort of be delayed, allowing Adebayor to play in the Manchester derby. Hopefully the FA will be clued onto that, though, and will say, well, sorry, even if you do make an appeal, Adebayor isn't going to be able to play against Manchester United.
I think that I'd rather play against City with Adebayor in the team anyway. I mean, he's obviously a really good player, but I think we know all about him, so we can handle him a bit better. Obviously, Bellamy, you know, again, we know a lot about him, but I think his pace would frighten us a little bit, especially if Rio's not fully fit. Evans isn't the fastest and Vidic certainly isn't, so I'm not saying I'd pick Bellamy over Adebayor in a team, but I think for the purpose of the game on Sunday, I think he could be what City need, really, because we'll probably have most of the ball, won't we? So I mean, their chances of getting a goal will be on the counter attack.
Sorry Dan, I was going to say, I think that's a valid point about Adebayor, because if you think the last few times he's come to Old Trafford in an Arsenal shirt, he's done nothing, has he? He's just been lost in the game. He looked great at the moment. Oh, he's in fantastic form. But against Arsenal, he's going to step it up, isn't he? After the torrid season he endured with them last season, he wanted to get that revenge out, and he succeeded in doing that. But Old Trafford's a different kettle of fish. Is he really going to be up for it? Is he really going to fancy it? So that all remains to be seen. But what about Carlos Tevez? If he does play, I mean, I assume he's a doubt at the moment whether he makes it or not. But what sort of reception will he get, considering what he's come out with in quotes we're led to believe since he left for Manchester City?
I hope he gets a horrible reception, and I hope he gets booed. I really do. I would like to say more expletives, but I can't. It really annoyed me because I loved him when he was with us, and then to go and do what he did, no, I don't like it, not one bit.
What annoyed me most is the stuff that he came out with after he left. That really annoyed me. Just leave it. You've left the club, fine. You've gone to City, you know, fine. But to keep, you know, having a bit of a dig all the time, it's a bit pathetic, really. I mean, it just winds everybody up, doesn't it?
It pushes all my buttons, Dan. Every single one.
Well, in terms of team news, guys, it's very early to sort of know who's going to be fit and who's not. And well, picking the team as well. Ferguson's chopped and changed things about since the start of the season, really. You'd assume Rooney and Berbatov will sort of spearhead the attack. Obviously, Ben Foster will continue to keep his place in goal. You'd assume Rio will come in alongside Nemanja Vidic if, of course, he's fit. Johnny Evans will happily step in if he's not. But the midfield's where the main question marks sort of arise. It's really difficult to predict what midfield he'll start with. Darren Fletcher's an obvious starter, but Dov, who would you put in alongside Fletcher?
Probably have Fletcher. I'd certainly have Anderson. I want him to get a good run of games, especially against our rivals as well. Scholes is suspended, so you'd be tempted to put Carrick in, but I think I'd leave him out and then maybe bring Park and Nani in. I'd play quite a attacking midfield, a Harry in midfield, a midfield that's going to work, and not have the player like Fletcher. I think he's sort of proved to me ever since I criticised him for being rubbish that he is a good player and he's been fantastic for us. And I think having him and Anderson and Park in the middle of the park, Harry in the City midfield will be quite beneficial.
Well, we shall see what team lines up, of course, on Sunday, but I'm sure it'll be a team that's capable of beating Manchester City, and let's hope that's exactly what happens. But Dan, they're in good form at the moment. You can't discredit that. So how do you think we're going to get on?
I think that it'll be a terrific game. I'm really looking forward to it as well. The atmosphere will be pumped as well, with City being, like you say, you know, winning games and on form. But I think, having home advantage, I think we should really step up to the plate. And I think we'll beat them. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be like 2-1 or 3-2, something like that. But
I think it'll be a draw. I don't think we'll win. I just think City have got something about them. The start of the season that they've had, and we've not really been playing very well, so I reckon it'll just be a draw. What about you? Do you think we can, well, do you think we can come away with a victory, or you're going to be on my team, or could you even say the most despicable thing and think they're going to come to Old Trafford and beat us?
Now, that's the thing. I've not really comprehended them doing anything against us at Old Trafford, to be honest. Whether I'm being a bit naive there, I don't know. I appreciate that they've had a very good start to the season, but I don't really think they've been tested as such. I know Arsenal were superb against Everton on the first day, but they play pretty football, don't they? But there's no sort of cutting edge to it. There's no cut and thrust. But with Wayne Rooney, you're certain to have that. Wayne Rooney is going to cause them problems, so that'll be a real test for their defence. But yeah, I've never really thought of them even getting a draw. They've certainly looked good the first few games of the season. There's no two ways about it. But I'm still confident that we're going to be good enough to beat them. I don't think it's going to be a mauling, but at the same time, I think we'll edge it. Maybe 2-0. I'll go for 2-0. That is just about it for the sixth episode now of the RedCafe.net podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Do email us podcast@redcafe.net. Get yourself signed up to the Facebook group too if you haven't already. And make sure you tune in again for next week's show.